Oh Allah, please shower your grace upon the subtle Muhammadan essence of pure unity, sun in the heavens of secrets and locus of manifestation of light, center of the orbit of majesty and pole of the spheres of beauty. Oh Allah, by his secret that is in your presence and by his journeying toward you, safeguard me from my fear and eradicate my offense and take away my sadness and my avarice. Exist for me and take me to you from myself and sustain me with passing away from myself, and do not let me be captivated by myself nor veiled by my senses, and reveal to me every preserved secret, O life, O self-manifesting and timeless one.
Ooh, and read the title.
That's 22 Salat of Essence by Hazrati Ibrahim Dasuki.
Rahmatullah alayhi. And now you can read it. She can read it in Arabic for us.
اللهم صل على ذات المحمدية اللطيفة الأهدية شمس سماء الأسرى ومطر الأنوار والمركز بدر الجلال وقطب فلاق الجمال اللهم بسيره لديك وبسيره إليك أمين خوفي وآخر أثرتي وذب حزني وحرصي وقن لل وقتني لك مني ورزقني للفناء عني ولا تجعلني مفتونا بالنفس مجوبا بحسي وقشف لل عن كل سير مقتوم يا حي يا قيوم.
Oh, mashallah. Let's make a fatiha for Ibrahim Dasuki to the secret heart of Pir Nuruddin Jurayi and all the peers. Into the secret heart of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatiha.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
And let's read it in English, the Fatiha. I think it's, I'm not sure, do we have it in this book? Zero. MashaAllah. And there's one thing though that I'd like to change in that already, but zero. In the overflowing of Allah's compassion and love, all praises yours, O beloved Allah, you alone, everyone, are praising yourself, and you alone are flooding our hearts with boundless praise and gratitude. O cherisher and sustainer of all beings, ceaselessly compassionate and forgiving, magnificently presiding over the day of awakening into divine radiance. You alone we adore, and upon you alone do we call. Reveal to us your direct path, the mystic way of our heart opening into your infinite heart of grace. And I would like to say the merciful way of your lovers, the merciful way of your lovers who never stray from you and never experience your awesome correction. Amen. Have we not vastly expanded your heart, O beloved, removing completely from you the burden of universal human suffering that you bore painfully upon your shoulders? Have we not revealed you as the human being most worthy of praise? With every intense struggle comes spiritual delight. With difficulty comes ease. Whenever you are free from external responsibilities, continue to pursue interior prayer, giving every moment of awareness to your precious Lord. Sadaqallah. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. That's the complete. That's beautiful. Yeah, right there.
Shifa, I wanted to ask you a question. Do you have the energy to?
Inshallah.
I was reading this hadith.
Yes.
In which, in the hadith was, Bismillah, the hadith was that make your stomachs hungry, make your livers thirsty, and make your bodies naked.
The liver is also, it's said to be the seat of emotions. The liver they used instead of the word heart. Apparently in the past, they would
like Rumi and Mevlana, what we would say today, the heart, they would say the liver, you know, mm-hmm. so intense love. And ishq would be said to be from the liver. Mm-hmm. And that's why the lovers were said to be almost yellow-faced or sallow. Mm-hmm. So I think that thirsty, not just for food and drink, but for the longing, in that sense, thirsty mm-hmm. for God. Mm-hmm. And I guess the body's naked, you know, the simple answer comes to mind that it's, you know, that we not deck ourselves out too much. That in a sense, in the Ramadan, that we fast from that level of adornments, you know. But again, it depends. I mean, it's interesting that in our tariqah, that level, but there's also the level of the divine beauty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Effendi never stressed being overly ascetic outwardly. I mean, certainly mm-hmm. inwardly empty of all but Allah, but not putting excessive emphasis on that, on the outside. So also to have beauty and to carry that, to be able to carry that, but not be attached to it. Many times he gave that lesson, you know, not to, you can have wealth, but you're not attached to it. And because he always said, you know, have money in your pocket because then you can give to people. And I think even, and it's said that the peer coming into this tariqat, in general, the dervishes will have sufficient means. It's not a tariqah either of, you know, outward necessarily fakirs of people. Some tariqahs are like that. You go in and you lose everything. But here, it's to have that abundance to be able to share. Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading another hadith in which it says, what is your property? That, you know, it's a kind of an awesome, one of those sobering, really sobering hadiths. It's what is your property? And, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, answered, your property is just what you consume in what you consume in the moment, what you wear on your back, you know, and what you give away. But basically what you need for your immediate, what you have for your immediate needs. But again, you know, the Prophet said his sunnah is an ocean, take of it what you will. So obviously the different lineages and the different sheikhs have put emphasis on different aspects. So, you know, I think Nuruddin Jarahi, rahmatullah alayh, coming with the 28 names of manifestation, and, you know, Ya Latif being the 28th, the Latif is also a name of beauty and subtlety and beauty, and therefore his silsila, his lineage, is going to carry that a certain softness and sweetness and adornment, the divine beauty. So, and Musafir Ashqi was, you know, a tremendous lover and a lover of God and lover of humanity. Well, he was such a lover of humanity that, you know, he also made the way easy for humanity. And so by emphasizing too much asceticism, you actually narrow the door that not everyone will be able to go in, and probably not very many. And he opened those doors wide with the Bismillah Rahman Rahim. So I think that's more our way. Our way is really also the way of... But again, I want to finish that. Our way is the way of compassion and love and generosity and, you know, community and reaching out to other beings and opening the way, making it easy for humanity to return to Allah and to be with Allah. But again, each one of us individually, we each have our own tendencies, and so we're free to pursue those, you know, of course. And some of us will be more ascetic, and some of us not. You know, there's that also diversity, thank goodness, in our community, diversity outwardly and diversity inwardly of spiritual inclination. So maybe again coming from the 28 names, you know, that completeness or complexity in of all those names. So you have Yajabar, you have Ya Latif, you have Ya Wadud, Ya Kirim, you know, but then you have Ya Jalil, you have Ya Malik. What are some of the more majestic ones? Ya Kadir, you know, Ya Kawi, power, divine power. So, Alhamdulillah. But we also have, you know, Ya Ghani and Ya Mughni as part of the 28. So there, it's of course the divine wealth is, we would say, in the, you know, it's interesting. It comes in that first hadith of the 101 diamonds where Allah says, you know, I am the Ghani, you know, and if all created beings would take from me as much as they desired, as much as they could ever imagine to take, you know, it would not be like dipping a needle in the ocean. It would just be like dipping a needle in the ocean. So there's that infinite bounty, and but the infinite richness is not a selfish richness. It's that richness is hand in hand with the bountiful giver, the all-generous giver. And I think that's also the understanding when it manifests, inshallah, in the human realm, inshallah. So we are the, you know, the slaves of the Ghani also. We should just be asking for forgiveness in these days. Honestly, that's what I feel. I feel, and you know, that in these last days, the Ramadan, it's almost like the last days of our life, because the Ramadan is like a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Each Ramadan, we have the opportunity of a lifetime to transform and to renew and to realize. It's so extraordinary. So how many days and nights left? Not so many. Seven. Is it seven, maybe, by now? And we should, you know, very strongly, I feel, asking for forgiveness. And there's an amazing article that James Winston Morris just published in the Ibn Arabi series, and it's so amazing. I was thinking of, inshallah, I want to send out a little note tomorrow on that because, again, something sobering. I mean, we need to be sober and ecstatic, both, you know, but we...
Sheikh, I was reading in Sheikh Muzaffar's book, on Lailatul Qadr, the Prophet, peace and blessings, actually Sayyidina Aisha, peace with her, she asked the Prophet, if I see if it's a night of power, what prayer should I make? Like if I find out...
Right.
And he said, pray that for pardon. Like,
pray, know, for pardon.
For pardon.
Wow.
Ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, ask for constant forgiveness. Say, Allah, you are the most forgiving.
Amen.
Pardon me, forgive me.
Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. And that's the emphasis also of these teachings of Sheikh Al-Akbar in this particular article written. That, you know, we might not realize that, but, you know, I don't necessarily want to convey it verbally here without maybe more studying it even more thoroughly, but I guess in a nutshell he says that our sufferings come from our wrongs, our heedlessness and wrongdoings. And he says even to the point of, you know, stepping on an ant, consciously or unconsciously. Unconsciously, so that we gather, it's like, you know, we gather this, what, you know, karma is a word that's used a lot today, and it's not a bad word, it's a certain word. I mean, I don't know whether the Arabic is the dhunub, or somehow Sheikh Noor didn't want to pick up the Christian word of sin, you know, sinfulness, because it has such a heavy, and the original sin and all that, and since that's not really the Quranic vision. But the, I don't know what the new, but anything that becomes like dust on the mirror, you know, or a stain, and so it's almost inevitable in life, just by being alive and in human form, that we will, you know, acquire this dust, and so therefore we need to consciously turn, and it's almost as though the All Forgiver, of course, desires that we turn, and therefore it's almost that it's kind of structured in that we're going to have to, and but Allah is the All Merciful. That's where, you know, that that theology of sin can be totally a theology of despair if you don't realize that it goes completely with the All Merciful, who loves to forgive. So yes, we accumulate, you know, this burdens just by breathing and living and thinking and going through our life, talking. When we speak, we make mistakes constantly toward truth, you know. But the All-Merciful, the All-Loving, the All-Desiring of our souls and our beings is waiting there for us. That's Allah, as that's an aspect of Allah's as a lover, you know, waiting, desiring us to come in that form as the one who repents, the one who turns and asks for forgiveness. That's one great way of the lover. And so, yes, I feel in this last days of the Ramadan to focus on that. And another interesting point of Ibn Arabi was that, you know, that of course the sufferings that are a result of accumulating these burdens on our soul, or the mirror of our heart, is become, though, expiations and become blessing. But there's sort of a requirement that we actually look at them and try to understand and see maybe where they might come from. So they need a tefakkur. So it's not just that we suffer like blindly, you know, or heedlessly, but that we contemplate, you know, and I mean, at least that's what I understood from the article, that we kind of trace it back to, you know, maybe becoming more aware of where we erred. And you know, and so that is a great tefakkur. And he himself, every night apparently, he would write down, you know, what he remembered as his mistakes. And also, he would also list, though, on the other side of the page, you know, what he felt were the virtuous actions or thoughts coming through him. But of course, seeing them as coming from Allah, not as his own merit necessarily. But so, yeah, I mean, I guess as we go in consciousness, the responsibility of human being a human being becomes greater and greater, you know, and mashallah. But the forgiver, that's, and so we always have to turn. So repentance is never without the forgiver, because who are we repenting to? Who are we returning to? We are returning to the All-Merciful. It's just really a way to somehow get us to come back, you know. That's what it is, really, in its essence. It's a way to call the souls back to the beloved. And alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you for sparking that, Mariam. Yes, Ali.
About the heart and liver, Shams says that divine declared your heart as strong.
Pardon? Say that again.
He says that he declared your heart as his throne.
Allah did.
Allah.
Yeah.
And he sat on it.
MashaAllah.
And that's the witnessing heart.
That's
witnessing.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And then the liver is really the organ of the prophecy.
Is the organ of what?
Prophecy.
Prophecy, in what sense?
In what sense that through that line of liver, you can approach the heart to the throne. And then the liver is the most forgiving organ. And also, if you want to go to do Native American ceremony or go to any place, they would ask you to do liver cleanse before you go. because if your liver is not cleansed, you will not be able to handle it. And Hafez, who we constantly...
Let's speak of the liver. Yeah, it's amazing.
Liver.
Yeah.
But when it comes to heart, they call it the knowing heart.
The knowing heart, yeah. More the seat of that ishq, that burning, that longing is more the liver. Yeah, and you feel it on your liver. You can't when you enter those states.
Yeah.
But the heart is the place that's more of gnosis.
And without karma, we couldn't be here.
Yeah. But to take up the thread of the naked body, you know, I'd like to also take it to the place where our peer prays, you know, Allah, may I be naked before your divinity. I think it has that meaning as really the deeper meaning, that we not... You know, that we not put on things, or whether they be states or states of mind that separate us, that the body is that pure receptivity to Allah. I think that is, to me, the greater way to see that, rather than just the fakir and the, you know, that outer poverty. Yeah. Uh-huh.
About this forgiveness, it's one of the English words that's hidden in the world. It's forgiving, not forgiving.
That's nice. Forgiving back to Allah. Yeah.
Forgiving.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when people make mistake that for keeping, the liver actually gets sick.
It gets sick. That's
like,
interesting.
Unless through like metal or diet.
Yeah, right. That's beautiful.
And in some retreats, they will not allow you to go there if your liver is not clean.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah.
Because you could die.
Right. But and with us, it's the forgiveness. I mean, look at the beginning of our wirt is 100 astaghfirullahs. You know, it's the beginning of, you know, of that the power to. Otherwise, maybe we wouldn't even be able to take the power of those prayers.
Really look at because Persian words, they're root and they have all meaning and they're most all connected to divine.
Right.
But in English, if you look at it, for.
Yeah, that's good.
Giving.
That's good, yeah. You mean for giving back to God? I mean, in a way, we give our wrongdoings back to Allah. Yeah.
When you keep it, it becomes wrongdoing.
Right. If we give it back, yeah, alhamdulillah.
Then we can stay naked.
The tawbah. Yeah, then we stay naked of
then if we can,
otherness.
Then we should be honest and say that it's for keeping.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Astaghfirullah. Well, it's an erasing. Astaghfirullah. I mean, it's many, many things. Well, it's, you know.
It's taking refuge.
It's taking refuge. It's returning to the source. It's erasing, you know, separation and coming forth new. As, you know, from the forgiveness we come new. That's why it said, when you take hand, actually, it says that you come forth new, like from your mother's womb. The hand-taking, it's a complete erasing of any of that, you know, what we would call karmic burdens. Or it's an opening of the gates of mercy, the ghafar, opening to all the divine generosity and potential that is, yes, waiting for us to receive. And it gives us the capacity, you know, also the ghafar. I mean, it's probably has so many implications. That, yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, ahabiyat.
I'm reminded very strongly with this line of our discussion of Hazrat Rabi'a al-Adawiyya and the one story where, I don't know if it was Bayezid al-Bustami or someone asked her, I wonder if I repent to Allah, if He will forgive me.
Mm.
And she replies, if Allah turns to you, then you will repent.
If Allah turns to you, you will repent. Yeah, that is true. That's true. Yeah, that's the movement. So it must be, you know, we're all speaking and feeling this way because it's coming, it's in this. We all kind of move together in these things and it must be coming in right now that very strongly to us. You know, nothing is by chance. All of this. That we become conscious of this and maybe ask real forgiveness for ourselves, for our families, our tariqah, humanity, all human beings at this time, in these last powerful days. In fact, one of the great things it said, you know, usually we think after the night of power, I used to think this, well, it's all over, you know. It was like kind of an anticlimax after that. But actually, in the Irshad, Effendi says that after the night of power, the divine forgiveness increases, you know, like gigantically, exponentially. Every night is an exponential increase from the night before until the Eid. And so, yes, this is, it's all for forgiveness. The Ramadan is for forgiveness. It's for the cleansing and the return.
You know, Sheikha, what I think about forgiveness also is that it isn't just the receiving of forgiveness, it's the asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really coming to see.
Right. The asking, yeah.
To really need that.
Right.
And
yeah.
To see how much we need that forgiveness and how much we need to be forgiven for is very...
That's true, Mariam. Yeah. That's true. I mean, we are forgiven even things we don't know and we don't ask for, but there is, you know, that profound state of, you're right, of asking and needing it. That's, you know, the tawbah. Really on our part. You know, it would be terrible if Allah just forgave us and we didn't know anything and we didn't know we made a mistake and, you know, that wouldn't be a really deep life. Yes.
Allah turned into us.
Right.
We were reading in Arabic last night. He's constantly, secretly turning to us, even closer and closer and closer.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Allah to turn. Then the first name, Rahman, he delimited. If we kind of believe in that, oh no, Allah is not turning to me, he's kind of denying of the Rahman.
Oh yes, denying the Rahman. That's true.
Denying of that.
That's true.
And then, but not to take that as a very simple, but to take that as how much awareness there is, how much consciousness there is.
Well, we embody these names of Allah, that Allah is the original. One who turns, the original Tawab, but then we take that name on. Allah is the original Mu'min, but then we take that name on and live it and experience it. And, you know, that's what's so amazing. Yeah. But we must, you're right, taste and experience those names profoundly. Otherwise, we haven't lived. Haven't really lived. Alhamdulillah. So there too, we, you know, we take on a divine attribute of the one who forgives and forgive another. It is one of the most releasing, liberating feelings, and to forgive someone, because then we are not bound. By forgiving someone else, we also forgive ourselves.
Yeah.